Now for a look at the president's military strategy in Iraq, we're joined by retired Marine Corps Lieutenant General Bernard Traynor, an adjunct senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. General, thanks for being with us. Greatly appreciated. Let me ask you, so many people talking about timeline. Is that realistic?
No, I don't think it's realistic. However, it's the sort of thing that you have to do to have some sort of guidance for your strategy. We're very great at metrics, and all during the Vietnamese War, we had lots of metrics, that, including body count, that gave us an indication of how well we were doing. Those things are useful, but in a larger sense, they're not practical. You really get the feel for the situation by going out to the troops on the ground, the commanders that are out there, and getting their sense of what the situation is. They'll give you the feel as to how well they're doing in their particular slice of the war.
We keep hearing the word the insurgents. How difficult is it to fight what sometimes can be characterized as a ragtag group of fighters versus a more conventional military? Is it more difficult?
Oh, surely. There's no question of it. Not only in this particular conflict, but this has been the case in the past, going back to our own revolution when the ragtag colonials took on the most powerful military force in the world at the time, the British, and beat them using the unconventional tactics of guerrilla warfare. It's ever been so, and that's the case right now. It's far more difficult to fight against an insurgency than it is against a conventional enemy.
We know politicians look at polls. Do soldiers look at polls when they see that half of the American people, at least polled, are concerned about the war, concerned about the president's guidance of it? Does that affect the psyche of the soldier?
The answer to that is both yes and no. Yes, in the sense that obviously they get the information from their families, they get it from television these days and from the radio, and they're concerned about the pulse of America. In the no side of the answer is that they're so concentrated on the job that they're doing that becomes the public opinion, in large measure, in the immediate sense, is irrelevant.
What of the idea that we heard over the course of this weekend as the White House sent out its people in talking and shoring up support and hopes of moving people toward the side of the president, that in fact we may have to stay here years and years, perhaps a decade or more? When you hear that, how do you deal with that in terms of, again, the morale of the soldiers and also convincing the American people that it's worth it? Do you do and just have to continue to do what the president did last night, and that's just talk directly to the American people?
I think so. You have to face a situation such as this in a realistic fashion. And there's no sense in trying to sugarcoat it, because the American people aren't stupid, nor are the American military, and they'll see through it. So you don't sugarcoat it, and you say, hey, we're in a tough fight, and we have to hang tough, and how long is it going to last? We don't know, because there are too many variables. But we do know, on the basis of what we're facing right now, that there isn't going to be a very quick and easy solution to this situation, and it's liable to go on for years. You know, in a certain sense, we have the same thing in Europe. We were in Europe ever since the start of the Cold War in a defensive mode against the Soviet Union, and, of course, we're still out in Korea. Yeah. So the business of long-term commitment to maintain peace and stability in an area is nothing new in the U.S. military or in the U.S. experience.
Do you believe, very quickly for me, General, that the Bush administration perhaps miscalculated the fight in this dog? If you listen and look back to earlier beliefs, they thought that this war, at least this level of war, would be over by now.
Oh, there's no question about that. I'm in the process of writing a book with a colleague of mine, Michael Gordon, called Cobra 2, which was a secret code word for the war. Yeah. In Iraq, and it's absolutely clear that the assumptions that were made about how the war was going to go and the post-war period were completely off the mark, and we're paying the price for that right now.
All right. Well, we will look forward to that book. Retired Marine Corps Lieutenant General Bernard Traynor, thanks very much for joining us. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure.